Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here from the We Are Women podcast. And today I have Dr. Rahi from Los Angeles. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Rahi. She has two clinics in Beverly Hills and one in New York City as well. Is that right? Three?
Yeah,
cool.
Two.
And that have changed life physically and emotionally for people. She is, I'm going to start all that again.
Okay.
Hey, I finally got COVID about 3 weeks ago and didn't get very sick, but the brain fog with it is just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Try to,
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here and welcome to the We Are Women podcast. Today I have Dr. Rahi. Dr. Rahi has two clinics in Beverly Hills and one in New York City that have changed the life physically and emotionally for her clients. She is known in the field of aesthetics, integrative and aging medicine in Beverly Hills, California, and in New York City. Her experience and number of successful cases precedes her image. She has the reputation of an innovator whose mission is to build perfect solutions that carry both cosmetic, rejuvenative, and inner health. It's going to be a really interesting interview because I know when I found that information about Dr. Rahi, there's a lot more to it than beauty, isn't there? It's not just what we're thinking about from that intro. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. I combine, health and wellness and some external beauty procedures, and that's basically my passion and what I really believe in.
Yeah. And so tell me about, I really like to know why you got into what you do. It's one of my things I always find fascinating is why people do what they do.
It kind of just morphed over several years. I initially did my residency in internal medicine, and that's like a 3-year program in the United States. And I wasn't really happy with the program and what I was being taught. It was really focused on treating disease once it had already started. And I felt that a lot of what I was seeing was, it was kind of sad in the sense that a lot of our patients weren't getting better. They were just, in this kind of vicious cycle of kind of hanging on by a thread almost. Mm-hmm. And what we were taught wasn't really focused on prevention and wellness and how to live like optimally. And so it didn't really make sense to me because I knew that there had to be a realm of medicine where you focus on wellness and, trying to stay as healthy as you can and living as optimally as you can. And so it took me some time, but I eventually did my fellowship in integrative medicine, which is basically really focused on wellness and taking different modalities of medicine from, all around the world and bringing it together and, offering the best possible treatments for your patients. And so, it took me, a few years to get to where I am, but I feel like now that I'm here, I'm really happy with what, I've decided to do.
Look, I think, when it comes to medicine, that's what might be my issue all the time is just treating symptoms and not really solving a problem. So I've always been a huge advocate of naturopaths, massage therapists, acupuncturists, of those type of treatments. And just coincidentally, I had neck pain today, so I went and had a massage and acupuncture rather than taking painkillers to resolve the problem. So I love hearing that. So it's actually, I haven't come across that form of medicine here?
In Australia?
I don't know whether we have practitioners other than people who train purely, say, in naturopathy or in kinesiology or, you know, in acupuncture, rather than a doctor, a trained medical practitioner who starts looking at the problems that's causing the symptoms and treats the problems instead.
Yeah, I actually, it's new relatively here too. And I think it's changing a lot. The traditional Western medical system, it's changing in the sense that now doctors are leaning towards understanding prevention, talking to the patients about, you know, diets, supplements, you know, how to balance their hormones, how to try to like optimize where they're at. Yeah, I'm not sure why, you know, there's not too many doctors in Australia. I know it's, you know, I'm originally from Canada, and I know it's really not there either to the same degree that it's present in the United States. But even in the United States, it's, you know, it's when I was in residency, I really, really wanted to do some rotations in integrative medicine. Mm-hmm. And at the time, my program director in my residency program just was like, no, we're not interested in you learning this. So, you know, even over the past, like, you know, I graduated residency in 2014. So from then to now, a lot has changed, because now where I did my residency, there is a focus on integrative medicine there too. So
it just makes so much sense. It saves people's lives, but even if we don't think of that, it saves a lot of money by not dealing with sick people, by dealing with people who have a problem and then helping them with that, solve that health issue or prevent it in the first place. I know, look, that's been one of my biggest bugbears through COVID, is not once did our government had signs up everywhere on the highways, go get vaccinated. Not once did our government have signs up that said, get outside, go for a walk, get out in the sun and move the body, or, you know, look, nothing. And that was just, used to bug me all the time.
Yeah, I actually said the exact same thing, because I remember, you know, it was night after night, you'd hear one politician after the other talking, or, you know, one sort of doctor that represents, you know, the country speaking on TV, and not once were they talking about the risk factors associated with like poor prognosis with COVID. And we know that that's obesity, we know that that's diabetes, you know, any sort of like immune issue. And a lot of these diseases can be prevented and treated. So, like, you know, type 2 diabetes, you can do lots of things to try to prevent it. And if you do have it, really, really control it well. The same with things like obesity. Vitamin D deficiency has also been shown, like, if you're deficient in vitamin D, there's some studies that show that if you get COVID, you'll have a poorer prognosis. So all of these things are super important, but no one ever talked about it. Except for me and some other, you know, people, but not on national TV. Like, it didn't make headlines.
Yeah.
You know?
It just absolutely makes so much sense. And I have so many of my clients and people that I work with that are working those alternative health. So I'm very much in that space where, you know, let's look for something different. And I'm the type of person that will go, okay, so something's really wrong here. Oh, let's go to a chiropractor, or, you know, I just need to figure out what is wrong. I'll go to a kinesiologist. But in Australia, they've actually, with a lot of these, acupuncture's fine, a chiro and physio's fine, but they've taken out because we have medical claims, you know, you can claim on your insurance. They've taken those alternative health practices like naturopaths off insurance schemes.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just, you know, the whole system is kind of awful.
Yeah. So, and
it's
sorry, go on.
I feel like there's really no country where it's perfect. It's just, you just have to, as a patient or just as a human, you just have to figure out what works the best for you and find the practitioners that work the best for you and, you know, do what's right for your body. Because, yeah, you know, you can go to Canada, Australia, America, you can go like any country and there's going to be, you know, the healthcare system is never going to be perfect.
No, and that's a very good point, isn't it? We are individuals. So looking after and taking responsibility for our own health is such an important factor. And I know before we just chatted quickly before we started recording the interview, and I mentioned that I'd had COVID a few weeks ago and I'm left with the fuzziness of the brain. And you gave some great advice with different things that you can help with that were all natural or supplements as well.
I love supplements. I think supplements are, you know, one of my favorite things because ever since I started religiously taking the supplements that I needed, I've noticed such significant changes from my weight to my energy, to my mood, my hair. My hair is like super thick now. Just so many positive changes, but I mean, it can be hard for some people because some people just don't like taking pills and some people don't like the idea of doing something every single day. But I kind of love that routine. It's for me, it's it kind of like sets a routine for the day. And when I take them, I can like feel the change in my body. So I associate it with like a positive result.
Yeah, no, I'm with you too. And I do like that routine and take vitamin C and zinc and magnesium and collagen and vitamin D and, you know, a few. And I'm sure that's how I, you know, as I said, I had COVID, but I really didn't have any symptoms for it at all other than a bit of a cough and a bit of a brain fog. So, you know, I'm sure that helped all of that as well.
Definitely. I mean, COVID definitely is real and it can cause, you know, really devastating things in different people and cause different, you know, symptoms. Like I've seen people get strokes with COVID. I've seen, you know, respiratory failure. And then other things too. I've seen a lot of, not just brain fog, but also like, depression following COVID and mood changes. So it's real, but I think that if you really work on being as healthy as you can be and like really optimizing your body, then there's ways that you could, I mean, the chances of you doing well with COVID, like doing well and surviving through is a lot higher.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember I saw some statistics in the US recently about the COVID deaths and the comparison to obesity. It was really
it's directly severe. Related. I mean, it's a risk factor. Obesity is a risk factor for, you know, for how you're going to do with COVID, and obese people, unfortunately, do really poorly.
Yeah. And, you know, worldwide, the US has got, Australia's not far behind it, but one of the highest obesity rates in the world. So then you do the comparison to the high number of deaths, and it all equates, doesn't it, as well? It makes a lot of sense. It's unfortunate for the people who didn't do well through it, but it does make a lot of sense. And looking after your health and that preventative and that daily, you know, the daily exercise. I remember I've always exercised and or done something with the body. And I taught aerobics for 10 years and I used to teach a lot and run and do things. And I remember my brother-in-law, when I was in my 40s, my brother-in-law saying to me, "So how am I going to keep this up?" You know, it was like, forever?
That is so funny.
It was. Okay. Just forever.
Forever. You have to move your body every single day. Yeah. Like you have to move your body. Like that there's no, you just have to. And yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand when people don't. Yeah, I mean, I do.
Finding things you like, that's the big deal, isn't it?
What?
Finding things that you like. So
yeah, and it's also like, it can be like a mental block, you know, getting you to like move forward. But I mean, it's so important that you move your body every single day. I mean, if it's hard for you to move, then like I always say, like maybe get like a friend that can hold you accountable, hire a trainer if it's within your budget, or take group classes. I really love taking classes with other people just because I feel like it motivates me.
I did enjoy that for the 10 years that I was an instructor. Yeah. And I was teaching 16 classes a week and running as well and doing my own training. It was insane. Yeah, so the body then pays for it a few years later with knees and issues like that. But you can just modify it now. It's just walking and yoga and stuff.
I love yoga. I think yoga, well, that's the thing. Like if you do a lot of the high intensity workouts, you really have to do something like yoga because you need to really be able to stretch your muscles out and also move your joints because yoga is so good for your joints.
Yeah. And also just while we're on yoga, yoga is really good for your mental health as well, because that's a big component of your health is that a couple of points. One is if I'm starting to get a sniffle or something, I'll go, oh, that's a sniffle. Whereas I know some other people, when they start to get the sniffle, they go, oh, now I'm going to get really sick. And so that's one part of that expectation within health, isn't it? So I'll touch on that, and then there's another part I want to touch on. So
yeah, I mean, obviously the mental. Sorry, I missed the last part.
You see that in your practice and that component of people thinking themselves unwell.
Yes, absolutely, all the time. And yeah, I mean, it's something that if you're prone to, you know, thinking that you're going to get sick or being in the sick state more often than not, I think it's just something that you have to work on a daily basis. Sometimes your body is a little bit weaker and maybe you need to do something to boost your immune system. But some of it is mental. And I think through things like yoga, meditation, all the things that I really enjoy, that's how you can like really calm your mind. And yeah, I feel, you know, going through medical school, residency and working, I have a very overactive mind and my brain is constantly on, and yoga is really what, you know, gets me through everything.
Yeah. And people think yoga is all about the postures and stretching, but it's not. It's the I love getting into the spaces. You know, one of my favorite postures is Tadasana.
Sorry, that was my dog.
That's okay. But yeah, just Tadasana, just being able to stand in and be still. That's what we don't do enough, isn't it? That just being still.
Yeah. The thing with yoga, a lot of people associate it with the physical movements, and those are called the asanas. And there's 8 limbs of yoga, and that's just one limb of the 8. And then the other 7 limbs, you know, I'd have to look them up because I did yoga teacher training like years ago.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is like focused on like internal and, you know, your relationship with your mind. And it's so powerful if, you know, anyone gets the chance to really like study what yoga really is. It's pretty amazing.
And it does make such a difference to be able to, I know, just even while I was unwell, because I don't get unwell very often. So I was able to sort of, you know, wake up each morning and then focus on light coming in and then crap going out, you know, that sort of thing, just to wake and feel better started with the headache the first couple of days. And it does make a difference to just taking that time and doing that. And I hadn't done those practices for a long time, and it was a really good reminder to do it.
Yeah, what I really learned that was really valuable for me in yoga was the concept of having a morning routine. And that is something that I think if some people, it just comes intuitively, like implementing a daily morning routine. But for me, I never really had a routine. It was kind of just always hustling, you know, moving from one thing to another. And I feel like having a morning routine, it could be like anywhere from like 15 minutes to like 30 minutes. Having that routine kind of like sets the tone for the day, and allows you to like, you know, be more productive throughout the day. And that just leads to overall wellness.
Yes. And it doesn't have to be an hour at a time. As you said, it can just be 15 minutes, but it's,
yeah,
that's the routine, isn't it? And the other part about mental health that I wanted to sort of think about, because I know we had a lot of lockdowns for a very long period of time, particularly in a couple of the states in Australia. And there's still areas that people who are unvaxxed still can't travel to. It's still not open to all Australians. That mental health space for people trapped in their homes and not being able to work, not being able to, and it's happening in China at the moment. I mean, they've got a whole city of 20 million people locked down. It has to cause significant long-term mental health issues, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And it's really sad because it's almost like the entire world that's experiencing it. And it's really hard because we're more and more isolated from each other. And it's, but there's things you could do that can help you throughout it. I mean, spending time in nature, if that's a possibility, that's really helpful. Spending time, you know, with people that you live with, or spending time with your pets. And also, you know, you can still maintain communication with other human beings, even if it's not physical. And so really learning how to develop sort of more virtual relationships, you know, that can help. But an exercise on a daily basis, getting sun exposure on a daily basis, all of these things are just super important and can help stabilize your mental health.
Yeah, and it is. It's so important. And the other thing, I was reading an article about children and young babies being born over the last 2 years not having been able to do the normal facial recognition stuff because everyone's got masks on as well.
Oh,
so learning how to read people's faces, but because people have got masks on, their IQ is less. They're doing tests.
Interesting. I haven't read that article, but I'm curious to see what it's about.
Yeah. It was, so, you know, there's a lot of health effects that are going to be long-term. And it's not just the COVID, it's the other components. So if you were, and you also cosmetic work as well.
Yeah, I do aesthetics. Yeah. I do minimally invasive procedures in the clinic.
So what sort of procedures do you do, Dr. Ryan?
It can range anywhere from dermal fillers, neurotoxins like Botox, or PDO threads. Have you heard of that?
No, I haven't.
PDO threads are basically suture threads that are designed specifically for aesthetic purposes, inserted into the tissue, into the dermal layer of the skin. And they do a little bit of a lift, but they also help stimulate collagen. Okay. So a lot of what I do in my practice is collagen stimulation. Collagen is an important factor in our skin. And in our early 20s, we start losing collagen, and that sort of breaks the skin down, and, you know, not only leads to physical signs of aging, but also the integrity of your skin becomes more compromised. So you're more prone to infections and immune problems. So re-stimulating collagen production is really nice because you create really natural results, but then it's also like healthier for your skin.
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't realize, you know, losing the collagen has an effect on your immune system also.
So when your skin is like breaking down, your skin is your biggest organ, and it's the number one like layer of defense, you know, from the outside world. It's how you protect. It's a protectant, right?
Yeah.
So when your skin breaks down, you're just more risk. Cause like the integrity of the skin, I always say that the architecture of the skin is breaking down as we age. And so if you can just like restore it, or try to restore it back to where it was, the number one, like protect, like the number biggest organ in your body is like what's going to protect you.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So that's really interesting. So as I mentioned, I have been taking collagen for about a year, Metagenics range of collagen. So I suppose every bit of that helps also.
Do you feel like you notice a difference?
Fingernails grow faster. I've always had very thick hair, but it's always looked nice and healthy and shiny. Yeah. And I'm 63. So yeah.
Great. You look great. Yeah. So sometimes some collagens just aren't absorbed as well. So, but if you feel like it's working, then it's definitely working because you know your body best. And, you know, taking supplements, you know, you'll definitely notice a difference.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I mean, this is all through the naturopaths and that, but it's with supplements like that you can go into a pharmacy and just see the supplements along the walls. And you really do need to get a professional opinion and advice on supplements. I think you could just be wasting a lot of money if you didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I know so many people that, you know, go and just buy nonstop supplements. And then they have like this huge supplement cabinet and they don't take anything. So like my supplement cabinet is like very specific. I take all of my supplements and, you know, I don't buy like 10 bottles of vitamin C. I have like one from, I like Thorne brand. I don't know if that's available in Australia, but
it's not, don't know it. I use Metagenics, which is, you know, again, through all the naturopaths.
And once I'm done with that, then I'll get another bottle. But I think sometimes people get like really excited when they go to like the supplement aisle of the store. Cause it's like, it's actually kind of fun to like run through these aisles and look at all the different things, but then they'll take it home and then they won't take it. So
then they won't take it. That's the habit of doing it. And that part, I mean, coming back to the natural part is eating well also.
I think diet is, I mean, I think it's like 80% of everything, you know, having a balanced diet. You know, I eat plant-based, really being able to like get all the good nutrients in is really important.
I absolutely know if I have had a sugar binge, it doesn't give you the energy. People go, well, I have some sugar, that'll give me energy. It drops me down. Absolutely. It's a big drop. And I find I have more joint pain. It's obvious.
Yeah. So staying away from like refined sugars, processed foods, fried foods is really important. One really nice trick that I've learned is optimizing your magnesium. When you take adequate magnesium daily, and it has to be like the right form of magnesium, like glycinate, citrate, the type of magnesiums that can be absorbed, and magnesium threonate, these magnesiums really help curb your sugar cravings. And I used to eat chocolate all the time, but not just dark chocolate, like milk chocolate. And I just had cravings all the time. And, you know, sometimes they'd get really intense. And I was reading about magnesium I'm like super obsessed with just because it has so many health benefits. But when you optimize your magnesium levels and you take magnesium supplementation consistently, you'll notice that you'll have like a really curbing of your sugar cravings.
Cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really handy. Anything that helps stop those sugar cravings. We do a fair bit of driving, and that's my worst place. That's just a habit, you know, that you, while you're driving, you eat junk food, you know, long drives, which is, and purely habit. There's no reason for it. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It's just purely habit.
So. Yeah, I get that. That's why if you're able to like really like get your labs, see if you're deficient in any vitamins, optimize that. Try to really like be on the right supplements, then all of these snacking, like I used to snack a lot too. All of that sort of is like really controlled. And it just like, it just happens so easily. It's like without any force, because your body just doesn't crave it as much, because your body is so much more balanced.
Yeah. Yeah. The mental part of why you're eating as well is such an important factor. Not just what you're eating. Yeah. Now, some takeaway points that you want listeners to and have three takeaway points, if you can, that you want people to go, this is really important. They need to, you know, need to do this or to think about this.
Okay. Three takeaway points. I'd say the first one would be to be an active participant in your own health, and, you know, find the right practitioners. Even if you feel like you're in a system that doesn't work, like if you take control, cause there's so much information out there, and I feel that, there's ways for us to learn about our own health and wellness. The second one would be trying to optimize your supplement intake, and that I would always recommend having a professional help you initially, so that you're not just going into the store and just buying random things, because that doesn't, you can buy, it may all seem harmless, but it's not. You can still take things if you're not supposed to take them, and that can cause harm, and or take too much of something or take too little of something. So it's really important that someone's guiding you through that.
Yeah.
And the last thing is to just incorporate physical movement into your daily life.
Yeah. Now, all of that just seems so simple, but it isn't what we do, is it? The first part, that being an active participant in your own health, then the rest of it should flow on from that. And it's just... as again, that's what, you know, it's agreed on that during the last 2 years, it hasn't been a priority from governments or health officials to talk about any of that. And it's
no, yeah, I don't know. It's sad, but yeah, I mean, it's very logical when I say it out loud, but not most people don't do it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Do you do any telehealth? With people from different countries, or it's just
practice? I actually have not done that before, because I don't really know the legalities of that. I looked into it, and I think that I'd have to see them once in one of the states that I'm licensed in.
Yeah.
Okay. As a patient, and then I can see them virtually. But to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure. So
okay.
And you got the answer
in California and in New York. So do you work between the two of those?
Yeah, I've been doing that for like 2 years now. It started at the beginning of the pandemic. I actually went to New York and I worked in a COVID pop-up hospital. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not sure if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, but New York was hit really hard.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was like New York and Italy that were like the top two places. They were like the hot spots. And so they needed doctors there. So I went, and then I got my license there. Like I got this emergency license in 24 hours, and it usually takes like 6 months to get a license. And it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And then I transferred that license and made it a more permanent license. And I've just been going back and forth, but I'm kind of rethinking this whole travel back
across the country.
It's a lot.
So if anyone's listening and they're from the US, obviously, how can they get in touch with you and how they find your clinics?
You know, the best way is either my website, and so that's drrahi.com, and it's doctor spelled out, so doctor, and then Rahi is r-a-h-i. And I also use Instagram a lot. My Instagram handle is at Dr. Rahi MD. And it's again, Dr. Rahi spelled out. And then M as in Mary, D as in talk, MD. Because every time I say it, people are like, MD.
I didn't have it in the notes with your Instagram. So at Dr. Rahi.
Yeah, so doctor spelt out, and then Rahi and MD.
MD, yeah, okay.
Medical doctor.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. No, that's great. And do you have any on your website, blogs and things that people can download and have a look at with the information you're talking about?
Actually, I have some blogs that I've written that I wrote them quite a long time ago, but they're still relevant today because I talk about like different tips and tricks for really common disorders. And I do a lot of writing in general, but I do it for like different outlets. But if you follow me on Instagram, I'm always posting different things.
Excellent. It's been really interesting chatting, and it just in agreement on so many of those factors of just, and I love that. Just, you've got to take responsibility for your own health. You know,
you do.
It's such an important factor, isn't it? You know, just what, how do you want to live your life?
And
you want to live your life well.
I hope so.
That's a thing. I'm very blessed with genetics with my grandmother's side of the family, that they all lived till late 90s and 100, but they lived well. And unfortunately, there was no dementia right across the whole lot of them.
Nice.
So that's very cool. So that's what I'm aiming at, is those genes for the ones that I'm carrying through. But you can't just expect the genes to do it. You still got to do all of the other
things. Yeah. And the other thing that I've noticed is a lot of times people don't really think, you know, taking care of their health is important until something bad happens to them. And I really just want everyone to like start considering their health like from the day they're born. And so like, it's, you know, obviously the parent's responsibility until the child can understand, but like basically health and wellness should be just taught to children and, you know, teenagers, so that your habits are healthy from, you know, day one, so that you don't have to focus on reversing disease. You can just focus on preventing it.
Yeah. I'm going to use that line. So you don't focus on reversing disease. You focus on
preventing it.
Focus on preventing it. Yeah. That's very cool.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. We've had a couple of different appointments and get time to get together. So it's 9, 10 p.m. for you and 3 p.m. for me the next day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Have a nice day today.
Yeah. It's only the weekend. We're good. We've got a whole new day, another day to go.
Thanks.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much for your time,
Dr. Rahi. Nice to meet you.
That's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm your host, Janine Vosper. Remember, if you want to have a chat to me, you can go to my website, janenvosper.com, and book in a conversation and we can see whether I can help you. You know what? If I can't help you, I can direct you to some amazing people that I've interviewed. We've got about 130 interviews now with different people who are expert in their field, and I can direct you to them. So join us next time on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.